of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals, come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. And I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good evening.
Amen.
It's a real privilege to be here tonight. And Dr. Smith is one of the pastors that I most admire here in America. And he's been a blessing to my life and been a blessing to our ministry. And also, I consider it an honor to be here with you tonight to preach the Word of God. Also, I thank the Lord for Brother Clay Reed. He's a good friend. He gives me a hard time, but that's okay. I love him anyway. And amen, Brother Clay. Amen. Estamos en México. Amen. And tonight also, there's a special friend here, Ana Lee, in the back here. 16 years and a half ago, was saved in our church, and it's good to see her tonight. She lives about a half hour from here, but Annalie, thank you for coming tonight. It's good to see you. It's very hard to preach at a church that has the kind of preacher you have, who gives you the Word of God. He's one of the greatest Bible preachers I've ever heard, and you're very privileged, and do not take it for granted, the pastor you have. And pray for him, support him, appreciate him. Don't wait till he's gone to really appreciate what God has given you and the man of God he's given you. So it's not easy for us to come here and to preach to you. But I know I'm preaching the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and knows our needs. But as I've been thinking and praying about what to preach tonight, I want you to turn the Bible, please, to John chapter 1. I'm going to preach on the subject, grace for living. Grace for living. Please stand to your feet, and I'd like to draw your attention to John chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Look at verse 16. "And of His fullness," that's Jesus, "have we all received grace for grace," or grace upon grace. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the privilege of being in this wonderful church and enjoyed so much the college today and the wonderful spirit and for what You're doing through this church in this great area. And Heavenly Father, You know the needs of Your people. And I pray that Your Spirit would work and would teach and would encourage and would, if need, reprove and correct. Lord, I want to honor You tonight and use me to be a blessing. Thank You for allowing me to be here. We love You, my Savior. Amen. Everything we have as Christians, everything we have received, it's all because of the grace of God. It's wonderful to be in a place in Mexico where I see the grace of God work in so many, many people. Just I was thinking about Brother Tomas. 12 years ago, 11 years ago, Brother Tomas walked into church. Tomas had just got out of jail. His father was a very, very sought after drug. Thank You. That's what I wanted to say. Amen. Praise me. I'm thinking in Spanish right now. I've got to change gears. He'd been put in jail, given 28 years in jail for drug trafficking. Just to give you an idea of what he was into, the last deal he did, he took $10 million. And he spent 4.5 years around the world spending and blowing that money. That was the kind of people that he was, kind of person that he was. And when he was in jail in an island called Islas Marias, which is off the Pacific coast of Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. And that jail is a high security jail. And for 3 days that you do in that jail, for every day you do in that jail, it's like 3 days in the jail in the peninsula there in Mexico. And when he left jail, he knew he needed God. But when he was in jail, whenever any Christians would go by the jails and they would take Bibles, he would take the Bibles. But he wouldn't take the Bible to read the Bible. He would take the Bible because he had a little marijuana patch that he grew there in the island. And he would use the pages of the Bible to smoke his marijuana. That's the kind of person he was. And a man who had killed men in his life. And when he got out of jail, he knew he was empty. Somebody invited him to our church. He came to our church one service on a Sunday morning. Tomas that day met Christ as his Savior. Came to the front and life was transformed. Today, Tomas is a printer at our Bear and Precious Seed Ministry there in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. And he loves God. He serves God. You know, that is the grace of God. Lady in our church named Diana. Diana, before coming to our church, was having a hard time with her family, just abused and beaten by her husband, a drunkard husband. One day she took a loaded gun to her head and she pulled the trigger. And the gun did not go off. She took the gun, looked at it, threw it on her bed, and the gun went off. Later, Deanna came to know Christ as her Savior and had many, many problems. Today, Deanna teaches in our Bible college. Deanna has a ministry for women and helps and works in our orphanage. You know, the grace of God is wonderful. And I'm sure there's many stories here of the wonderful and marvelous grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only difference between a lost person and myself or you who are saved is the grace of God. All of us have pressures. All of us have burdens. All of us have problems. All of us go through sufferings and we all go through failures and we have people who die in our families and we have injustice happen to us or people have been abused and you know what? But there is sufficient grace
And the grace of God has made a difference in our lives. Tonight, I want to squeeze in two messages in the half hour. Amen? And I don't know if I'll preach for a half hour. Pray for me. And I'm not going to look at Kerry because he'll tell me to stop. No, I'm just teasing. But what is grace? What is the grace of God? Remember this, that Bible words are defined by how they're used in the Word of God. And first of all, there, look with me in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to give you like a Bible study and preach to you for a little while. Romans chapter 3, please, verse 24. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, grace is unmerited favor. We have been forgiven. We have been made the children of God. Our names have been written in heaven. It's all unmerited favor. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We don't deserve to have the peace of God. We don't deserve to have been participators of the love of God in our lives. And that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. Brother, we have been treated with unmerited favor. Praise the Lord. We don't deserve anything. It's all unmerited favor. But look with me, please, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Grace is unmerited favor. But also there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, please. Verse 6. The Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That word accepted there is talking about you and I. We have been accepted in the Beloved, just like Christ the Son of God is accepted by the Father. You and I have been accepted. Grace also means favor or acceptance. What a wonderful thought. And what a wonderful truth to know that we have been accepted just like we are. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 2, see, grace describes our position in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth. You and I, because we are saved by grace, are already with Christ. We are already resurrected. That's our position. We are in Christ and we are with Christ. That's why salvation is eternal. That's why you cannot lose your salvation, because we are under grace. We are with Christ in heavenly places. We have been accepted. We are like Abraham, the friends of God. Brother, what a blessing. You are accepting. That's why I can pray. That's why I can walk through the shadow of the valley of death. And I know that my prayers are accepted. And I have His grace. And I have His power. Because I am in Christ and with Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Praise the Lord. Many people today have a low self-esteem. You know, yes, we don't deserve anything, but praise God, we are in Christ and we are accepted in the Beloved. What is grace? First of all, grace is unmerited favor. What is grace? Grace is favor, acceptance. Number three, what is grace? Look with me, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. The Bible says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is there, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Grace is supernatural power from God. That's grace. The Lord told Paul, you know what, Paul? I am not going to take this circumstance away from you. You've asked me 3 times, but I'm not going to take it away from you. Because I want to show you, Paul, that yes, you're a great man. And yes, you're a great servant. But you know, Paul, you need me. And Paul, you have your limits. And Paul, you have, you're just able to do, to go a certain way in your own strength. But Paul, you need my strength. You need my power. Praise the Lord. There's supernatural power to do the will of God. There's supernatural power to go through tribulations. There's supernatural power to go through testings. There's supernatural power to go through temptations. We have the grace of God. There in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says there in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of the joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. See, they, beyond their power, beyond their human capacity, beyond their human reasoning, they did a supernatural work. They were suffering. They were being persecuted. They lived in deep poverty, yet they were generous. Yet they sacrificed, and they were a blessing to the Christians there in the city of Jerusalem. You know what, my brother, my sister, God gives us grace to do a supernatural work for God. You know, the Christian life is supernatural. It's supernatural. You ought not be able to explain the Christian life, because we know God. We have the power of God. We have a wonderful book, the Word of God. The Christian life should be supernatural. But why is it that so many Christians, like the lost people, complain exactly the same, and they have the same problems, and they react the same way, because they're living in their own power. They're not living by the and with the grace of God in their lives. 1998, in the month of March, I was involved in a terrible accident. We were going to preach in the city of Saltillo. Five other men came with me. And we were driving north towards Saltillo early in the morning. On a Wednesday morning, a semi-truck came onto our lane. And the brother driving could not veer to the left, to the right fast enough, and he hit us head on. 4 men died and went to heaven. 2 of us lived, and by the grace of God, I'm living today. I had some brain, a little bit of swollen in the brain, and for 3 months I had to recuperate for 3 months, and I thank the Lord that my brain was small, not too much damage was done to it. Amen. But one of the widows named Amelia. Her husband was in our Bible college, Bible Institute. He was studying. He was in his second year. He wanted to be a missionary to the country of Colombia. Amelia was 26 years old when he died. 2 young boys, Felipe and Noé. And very, very poor. The other 3 widows, their husbands left life insurances. And by the grace of God, they were well off. But Amelia didn't have anything. Totally destitute. Our church built a little apartment for her. We hired her on staff, and she's been working in our Bible Institute for these years now, the last 9 years, and she's a great blessing to our church, and her children are grew up in our church. And a couple years ago, she teaches in our Bible Institute, and a couple years ago, some of the girls, she asked the young ladies in one of her class, she asked them, she said, you know, I've been single, I've been married, and I am widowed. She said, in what state do you think that I've had or I've seen more of the blessings of God, and that I have that I rejoice more in? All the young ladies said, when you were single. And she said, no, now that I'm a widow. You know, and I think about this lady Amelia and her life. You know, that is a supernatural life. Supernatural work in her life. Praise the Lord. We have the grace of God. But look with me, please, in the book of Philippians, please. Book of Philippians. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is favor and acceptance. Faith is supernatural power of God. Grace, number four, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we have a wonderful definition of grace there. Philippians 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to do both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Matthew Henry said that grace is the good pleasure of God in our lives and the good work of God in our lives. The good pleasure of the Lord is grace. You know what is grace? Grace is, it is the desire and power to do the will of God. For it is God which worketh in you. See, everything I have done, everything I do, everything I am is God working in me. If today I had the desire to pray and read my Bible, it is the grace of God. Paul described it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If today I'm still faithfully serving the Lord, if I'm faithful to my wife and I'm doing that which is right, it is the grace of God. God working in me, God giving me the desire, God giving me the power to do that which is right before His eyes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Bible says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, grace, brother, gives me the desire to serve God, gives me the desire to be faithful to God. Grace gives me the power to be faithful, gives me the power to obey God. It's God working in me. You and I need the grace of God. There's a little lady in our church, Karen, and my wife and I visit her just Monday night. And when the first time I went to visit Hermana Graciela, I could not believe anybody can live this way. I've been in Mexico for 17 years, and the way this lady was living just astonished me. She lived in a little shack, but the walls were all cardboard. Her windows were just... the curtains, they had no windows, no window panes. It was just rags hanging, and her ceiling was all cardboard. And when I walked and I went into her house, I cannot believe, dirt floor, just poor as you can imagine. Her husband was an alcoholic. Her husband beat her all the time. Her kids were all alcoholics and just lived a terrible life. Praise the Lord, Graciela has been in our church 10 years now. I remember about 7 years ago, she came to my office one afternoon, and she said, Pastor, 2 weeks ago, I got a job working for 15 days, Pastor, and today I got my pay. I remember correctly, her pay was like $50 for 2 weeks of work. She said, Pastor, I want you to have my entire 2 weeks' pay. I said, Graciela, why don't you just give the tithe? She said, Pastor, the first fruits belongs to my Lord. And I didn't want to take it, but I knew that I was robbing her a blessing. She gave me her entire 2 weeks' pay for tithe for the church. I told that story. You know, and a doctor lady in the States heard of it. And ever since then, a lady doctor in the States has been sending her money. Went to her house just the other day. She's built it up. She has a home with stairs and bricks and windows and has a kitchen and has a stove and has refrigerators. And she's so old, she can hardly walk She has a rope to help her get up to be able to get in her house. You know, the Lord taught me that that's exactly what the Macedonian Christians were like. But the Bible says that they did that supernatural work because the grace of God was bestowed upon them. And brother and sister, you and I need this grace, this unmerited favor, whereby we receive the blessings of God. We need to continue to rejoice in the fact that He gives us power, and He gives us desire, and He gives us capacity and strength to do the will of God. We need His grace. Now here is my message, amen? To whom does God give that grace? The Bible says grace for grace. His grace is sufficient. There's grace to suffer. There's grace for every circumstance. There's grace for every temptation. There's grace for you to serve the Lord. There's grace for you to be a good husband. There's grace for you to be a good wife. There's grace for you to be a good servant of the Lord. There's grace to be a good Sunday school teacher. There's grace to be a good bus captain. There's grace to do the will of God and go to the mission field. There's grace to pastor a church. There's grace to give above and beyond what you can ever imagine, you can ever give to the work of God. There's grace enough for you to live your entire life. Praise the Lord, there's grace. To whom does God give this grace? First of all, God gives this grace to them that believe. They're in Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the Bible says there, and in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Brother, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Brother, faith in the Lord opens the windows of heaven for Him to pour out His grace upon our lives. Look with me in the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 4. God gives grace to them that believe. See, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible says that there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whenever I need grace, there is grace for me. But I must have enough faith to go to God and ask God for His grace. See, the reason why people don't pray is because they don't believe. There's so many Christians who are living under their circumstances, and there's so many Christians that are barely making it every day and struggling, and there's no joy and there's no power. Why? Because you're living the Christian life in your power. You're living the Christian life with your own abilities. We have to have the grace of God to live the Christian life. But we must walk by faith. We must take His word and believe every word and act upon His word and obey His word. And when we pray, we go to God and say, God, You promised. And God, and we go to God and we go in faith and praise God, there's grace. You might be having a hard time today, or been having a hard time because of suffering, sin, or sicknesses or pressures. There's grace for you, but you need to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And as I grow in faith, I grow in grace. That's why so many Christians don't grow in grace, because you are not growing in your faith. You're not adding to your faith. You're not growing in the knowledge of God and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because as I grow in faith and as I grow in knowledge of my Lord, I grow in grace. Second of all, look with me, please, in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 5. To whom does God give grace? God gives grace to those that believe. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. The Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the poor, the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The Lord gives grace to those that humble themselves. See, humility is not natural to you or me. The Bible says you're to clothe. What are to put on? Humility. The Bible says that if I humble myself before the mighty hand of God, listen to me, I must humble myself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt me. It's not what you think, exaltation, that you become somebody in the presence of others. No, he exalts you in his presence. And that's where I need to be exalted. That's where I need to have his ear. That's where I need to have his favor. Not the favor of men, but the favor of God. Not the blessing of men, but the blessing of God. Not the help of men, but the help of God. I need his grace. But God gives grace to the humble. Recognize your weakness. Recognize your condition. Recognize your need. Recognize you that without the Lord, you are nothing. And God never despises a humble and contrite spirit. Why did God give Paul that affliction? Why did God give Paul that thorn in his flesh? Look with me again. Why did God do that? The Bible says there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, the Bible says, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Two times in verse 7, he expresses the reason why God brought that circumstance in his life where Paul humanly could not handle. Paul said, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, you've got to take it away from me. But God says, no, Paul, I want you to remember that you need me. Paul, I want you to remember that without me, you are nothing. Paul, I want you to remember that you have to have my power, else you cannot make it another day of your life. And that's exactly how we need to live, my brother. We grow so haughty. We grow so used to the blessings of God. We think we know it. We think we have it. And we depend on ourselves. And God has to remind us that we need him. God has allowed brokenness to come in my life in times past. Where God showed me, Lewis, your name is nothing. Lewis, I don't need you. Remember 2.5 years ago, I went before our church. And I told our church that I would resign. Because see, my two oldest children had rebelled against the Lord. And I had to ask them to leave the home. And I remember many Sundays going to church on a Sunday morning, not having slept all Saturday night, weeping and crying and begging God. And you know, but in those times when Karen and I would come together and beg God for our children, we realized that we were nothing. We realized that our reputation was not important. Realized that my ministry was not important, that his name was more important, that is the testimony of his word was more important. And God showed me, Lewis, don't you forget that you're nothing. And you know, as I remember those days, they were very hard days, and the days there were days where God broke me, and I realized that I had to have the Lord. And by his grace, my children came back to God. My children got converted. Praise the Lord. And they're doing well, and they're in the will of God today. But you know, God allows many times circumstances in our lives to remind us what we are, to remind us what we deserve, to remind us that without him, we are nothing. And we have to have his grace. And when everything is going well, and you're serving the Lord, it's easy to forget that you need him desperately. We need him desperately. I want to be faithful to my wife until the day he takes me to heaven, but I have to have his grace. I want to finish my race. I want to be in the will of God to the day he calls me or he comes for me. I want to be used of him. But see, I have human limitations, and humanly speaking, I'm a failure without God. I have to have him, and so do you. And God gives that grace to those that humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. He gives grace to those that believe. He gives grace to those that humble themselves. Number three, look with me again in the book of, look with me the book of James, please. James. Are you with me tonight? Book of James, chapter 4. Beginning with verse 4. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do we think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That phrase, but he giveth more grace, is referring to what he said in verse 4 and in verse 5. Because the Bible says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, it is the will of God that I live a separated life. My body, my mind, my hands, my feet, my will belong to my Lord, not to the pleasure of this world. And whenever you begin to live in a worldly manner, you are committing spiritual adultery. You're disobeying God. He says, but he giveth more grace to those. Listen, brother, when I decide to obey God, when I decide to do the will of God, God will give me grace to stand. God will give me grace to obey. God will give me grace to do right, even though everyone is not doing right. See, God gives grace to those that obey. God gives grace to those that do the will of God. How many people have disobeyed the will of God in serving Him? Because they look at their circumstance, they look at their human limitations, and they say, no way, I can't. And they don't do the will of God. But I know so many people that realize, yes, Lord, I don't have what it takes and I'm not worthy. And Lord, but you've called me and I'm going to take that step of faith. And Lord, I'm going to obey you. And brother, God does with them above and far beyond what any man could ever imagine. Because God gives grace to those that obey. Second Corinthians, please, chapter 12. God gives grace to those that believe. God gives grace to those that humble themselves. God gives grace to those that obey. And lastly, now when I say lastly, I finished about 10 times, so don't get too happy, okay? I'm just teasing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says there in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God gives grace to those that put their trust totally in Him. That's exactly what Paul is saying. I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my weakness. I glory in my sufferings because I'm depending upon His promise that He will give me the power, He will give me the capacity, He will give me the ability. He will give me the strength to continue to do the will of God. God gives grace to those that trust totally in Him. Bible says there in the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah, quickly please. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40.
verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Praise God, and He is our God. Neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's the grace of God. But to whom does God give this grace? To those that wait upon Him. To those that trust Him. Job said, though thou slay me, I will trust in Him. See, the Christian life is a supernatural life. To be able to be faithful, to have victory, to serve God, to withstand the wiles of the devil, to be able to stand in the middle of so much apostasy and wickedness in this world, we have to have supernatural power of God. That's the grace of God we need. Let me ask you something. Are you living by His grace? See, these truths helped me a couple months ago. I realized that in serving the Lord, many times I was frustrated because you plan and you do, but I've learned that it's not what I can do, but it's what He can do through me by His grace. Are you living by the grace of God? Or are you struggling with your own strength and your own power? There's grace for you. There's grace. There's sufficient grace for you to live the Christian life. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for allowing us to serve You tonight.